IVM.
A niche thing explores subcultures around us that make for great interests and hobbies. These range from topics like affordable art to exploring the world of coffee, hi-fi, sneakers, watches, vintage fashion, where the list goes on and on. It's a podcast with something for everyone. So let the conversation begin. On today's episode of A Niche Thing, I talk about my Thailand trip. I've literally just come back from Thailand with Chef Sifa and a few friends. We were on a food trip to some very small towns, and we'll get into it right after these short messages. All right, welcome to the show. Rohan, Sifa and Bhakti, long time no see.
Hello.
Literally just flown in last night from Thailand and we're recording this. Before we get into today's episode, which is going to be exploring a lot of Northern Thailand food, I want a quick round of introduction of everyone. So let's go clockwise. Rohan, you start.
Hi, so I'm one of the co-founders of Four Monkeys Events and I also run a QSR called Pakapao and Rocket Man Pizza based out of Bandra.
Yeah.
So I'm Sifa Ketchayo, the owner of Sifa Restaurant and the one of the Four Monkey. Yeah.
And I also think you're a mafia.
Yeah, so.
Bhakti.
Hi, I'm Bhakti. I'm the founder and chef of Little Food Company based in Bombay.
Are you another monkey as well?
Not a monkey.
No, right.
Okay, all three of them are downplaying themselves. They're all three very cool people, very prominent in the F&B scene. In different aspects. And a few weeks back, Sifa called me and said, we are going to Thailand. And I was driving that time. I don't even think I understood the entire conversation. And I was like, yeah, cool. Let's go.
Yeah, I was shocked that you say yes directly. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, we're going to Thailand. I was like, yes, done.
She asked me like five times, do you think Anish will say yes? I said, yeah, chef, he'll say yes.
I didn't even ask for any more details. All of the things came later. But it was super interesting because we were exploring Thai food and go to places that I'd never even heard of. Usually when I think of Thailand, Bangkok is the first thing that comes to mind. But how did this trip even come about? Because both of you have been involved in the planning of this.
So let me start this. Like you say, people know Bangkok, people know Phuket, Pattaya, you know, Samui, Krabi. But for myself, that a little bore for like our generation as well. So I come with the concept of Northeast Thailand because I love the food. So I love their food and say, why not? And then when I do the food promotion every time for the Isan food, people love it. So I spoke to the Tourism Authority of Thailand in Mumbai to like let them understand why we not promote this. So yeah, they agree with us. So they give opportunity for us to do this. And then I come to spoke to Rohan and then Four Monkey that how to go about. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think when Sifa told us about this, we were really excited because I've seen a whole different part of Thailand. And we did a lot of research around what we would like to show you guys around mainly food, the restaurants, the bar. And also, it was so different, right? Because we did like stuff going to a temple, which usually I don't think so anyone would do.
We went to a dinosaur museum.
Yeah, we went to a dinosaur museum. So it was really fun and different.
And first time in my life as well that I go to Isan with all of you. So everything new for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I remember there was one meal where we were having where even Sifa was like, this is way too spicy for me.
Yeah. And I was shocked. Like, I go to tell them, please make less spicy. I think that all my friends cannot have it. They say, only you have problem. Everyone didn't complain anything. Like, oh, okay.
So, Sifa, to you, give me a little download on how Thai cuisine is overall, what are like the staples of Thai cuisine, and then how it starts to shift the moment you, let's say, get to the Isan cuisine.
So you say that all over the world that know Thai food, mostly from the center of Thailand, right? So why we not promote anything else, north, south, northeast, or whatever way. So now that Thailand have so many cuisine, so I want to showcase of the Thai food is not only about the spicy. If you say that Isan, yes, they have spicy food, but they have different things as well. They have grill of the meat. They have a lot of fermented thing that you don't have to use fish salt. You can use fermented fish instead of the fish salt. I want to shame people mind that try something new. And then that's why we say that we show Isan because of, I know everyone love it. You keep eating, but you're not feeling really heavy. Because everything about the herb, everything about it, you know. Yeah, that's why my idea that I want to show another cuisine of the Thailand.
And how does the Asan cuisine start to differ? And Bhakti, I want you to chime in on this also, because you and I are fans of this cuisine and we could perhaps eat this every day.
Right.
But how did it change for us as well?
So, like I said, Thai curry rice, pad Thai dish. Even papaya salad in the center of the Thailand is completely different, right? If you see their presentation, that they serve with a lot of meat and vegetables. So you mix everything together. The taste of the Asan food, they have all flavor. They have four flavors. They have spice, they have salt, they have sweet, they have sour. But in the center, that is only sweet, if you say that. Sour is only about the sour and spicy. Not also, again, it's sweet and spicy. Only Asan that have all the flavor that you taste, that you also see. Right.
How is it for you?
So I felt like it's different in terms of, like she said, it's fermented, a lot of fermentation techniques involved. I find it different from even the spice levels perspective. Everything, there was a range of spice on the entire meal everywhere we ate across the north. Versus when you come to a Bangkok city, I think it's also designed for tourism. It's designed for, you know, we are going to better restaurants and stuff. It's also adapted to a lot of people. But when we are eating this local, eating stuff like ant eggs or eating things like dried shrimp straight up, larvae, it's very different. And we could consume that far easier there than like as a gimmicky thing in Bangkok. Like Khao San Road will send you, you know, skewer sticks with scorpion, which has become like a fun thing. It's not really like here we consumed it naturally versus it being, you know, presented to you in a fun manner to try as a challenge.
Yeah.
So that makes a difference. Like she said, the Thai papaya salad itself served so differently was stunning. Like none of us knew that this will happen.
And this was at that first place, right?
Yeah.
This was
yeah.
in Konkan.
In Konkan. In Sunshine Cafe, in fact.
Yeah,
and it was served completely differently. Maybe it would have not been as spicy had we known we are mixing all of it together. But and we went for it.
and if you see that, the quality of the seafood, what they're serving to us, they serve fresh one. That I was shocked because of I'm stopped to eat seafood from Bangkok Frank because I see that they serve always frozen prawn. Bangkok become commercial now. I'm from Bangkok, but I keep complaining about Bangkok, about the quality of the food. Yeah, I mean,
this blows my mind. There's a lot of frozen seafood being consumed in Bangkok.
Yes, yes, because of that. I don't know how. And then Bangkok very close to the sea.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's also the volume, right?
I mean, yeah, that's what
bigger,
I said. They become
bigger
the
restaurants.
Yeah, even you go to the mall, some famous restaurant in the mall that also there's of frozen prawn and.
But here's the thing: Bangkok is importing seafood from, in fact, even India. Crabs are being sent from India and Sri Lanka to
correctly.
Bangkok. So yes, it will be that quality will change. The crab style, size, everything is going to change, and a lot of fish does still come from Tokyo for all of Southeast Asia.
So we started our trip in Konkan and this place, Sunny Cafe?
Sunshine Cafe.
So this was the vibe throughout the trip. A lot of beer with ice.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a lot of spicy food in Konkan. But
yeah.
Coming back to that salad we have, we had the papaya salad. We can put the pictures on the YouTube version of the podcast. But I've never seen papaya salad like that. A really concentrated papaya salad with so many condiments around it, ranging from...
There was noodles, there was meat, there was herbs, there was a lot of
pork,
peanuts, everything that was given along with it. So, sausages.
And then that one dish of young coconut.
Young coconut.
That was excellent.
With the late curry fish. That amazing.
That was my favorite.
So that what? The quality of the seafood, what they used, it changed the game of the dish. And like you said, papaya salad, why they serve condiment is to reduce your spice.
That was so spicy.
Yeah, that was. The
because
second one,
what
I was ordered, I said, can you please make less spicy? They was like, less spicy? I said, yeah, that less spicy or that second one.
Mm. That salad was 10x of every flavor, just concentrated. And I was really enjoying it and I was sweating and I was being a hero and finishing it. And then I see Sifa say, this is too spicy, I can't have it.
Yeah, I think it's true. And that also one of the reason why we put ice with the beer.
Yeah.
Because of...
To calm it.
Like, it get more colder and then... And you can keep drinking more beer if you see that.
Ice with beer is a great idea.
Yeah.
You should do that in Bombay as well.
But ice in Bombay, like... Okay.
Yeah, let's not get there.
But another interesting thing was how just the papaya salad, how just the somtam changed throughout our trip wherever we went.
This was
super spicy.
Yeah.
After that, it was even served somewhere with fermented crab. It served somewhere with, shrimp. It served somewhere with even
salted
aubergine
egg,
and salted egg.
And then even the raw fermented crab. Another one, yes. So the raw prawn, that even they served that. So, but because of the seafood fresh, right? Actually, we have the raw prawn. If prawn is fresh, we just squeeze with the lemon, we can eat that. And then very sweet. The prawn become very sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, like for me, it was the first time eating so much seafood, right? I come from a whole coastal, I'm Maharashtrian, so I'm just been eating like coconut everywhere. I don't think so. I ate coconut, like a coconut paste in any of the food as well. Yeah. There was no coconut paste in any of the food.
Guys, in 10 days, we didn't have Thai curry rice.
Yeah, exactly. That was amazing.
In fact, the young coconut is the most interesting dish because the young coconut was cooked and steamed in that coconut with the flesh.
Yeah.
So instead of using coconut, like you said, make it a paste, that it was what we were eating is...
coconut meat.
Yeah, coconut meat, in fact. So that was stunning and very... I think we were also confused,
right? What it is, someone said it's egg. Someone said it's like...
There was egg, but the whole base felt like
egg bhurji or something like that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was
to be able to even cook like that, they had to serve the water of the coconut in a glass because they have to use the coconut shell and the thing to cook, which was also very, very well done.
So this dish was young coconut. It was a bunch of different seafood ranging from oysters to shrimps to fish and prawns and everything, and young coconut and eggs. And it was delicious.
So from Konkan that we head to Loei. So Loei, one of the city that is starting to go to north. Okay, so Loei between that Isan, like a northeast to north. And then we go to Shenkan, you see that we go for walking street. That also Sheng, another game. Because food also completely different from Konkan to Loei. Yeah.
I don't think I'm done with Konkan yet. Even the night market that we went to. I think the interesting thing here was that these were not touristy places. In fact, most of the places didn't even have menus in English. And like what Bhakti earlier said, right? So when you're eating a bug there, it's not a touristy thing that is actually what is being consumed every day. That night market was also really, really cool.
Yeah, I heard that. I'm not there at night. Kalan saying that the food is so good. Very nice food there.
Yeah, actually, what I liked about that whole place as we entered, you felt like, okay, it's going to be loud and it's going to be like, it's going to be crazy. What I really liked about the market is, number one, it's so clean. I don't understand how they handle this hygiene. I don't think so. It happens in Bombay also. We've done flea markets and we see our stall being so like messed up. But this was unreal. They're using ice, there's seafood, there's live, there's gas, there's everything. And it was crazy. Every stall was so clean and the food was amazing.
That night market actually gave us a chance to see a lot more food in one place rather than, in a single restaurant. So it makes it easier. It was also, you're visibly seeing the kitchens. You're visibly seeing the cooking methods that are being applied there. Everybody had like jars and jars of like the sauces. All the sauces, whether it's green, the red, the super spicy, everything looked phenomenal. And again, yes, like he said, fresh seafood to be done in that format is genius, is amazing.
I was somewhere moving away from shellfish in Bombay. I was just not feeling it. And this trip just changed that again.
Yeah.
And just the quality.
Yeah.
The sauces. The first place we ate at the Vietnamese place in Konkan.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone remembers.
So that the Vietnam inspiration.
Yeah, but even the sauce, the stuff we were getting on the side.
Yeah, so that the sauce also like a little sweet, but they add, So that's why I said the food is, if the dipping is sweet, they give you some raw mango, they give you some of the chili on side, and then you should put, and then you get all balanced into, and then the sauces have some salt in it, right? So that's why you get all balanced.
I thought that one of the dips that we got there was fish sauce with slight sugar given to us on the side, And but again, that Vietnamese food completely was different to anything we ate across the trip.
What I was amazed is that basket of lettuce and mint and basil.
Yeah, that's so Vietnam.
I was just like, wow. Because I've not been to Vietnam before. And that was amazing. I think I was making like pork si kebab rolls with lettuce.
I was good. We ate a lot of lettuce. Yeah. You just don't feel heavy, right? It's nice and easy. Also, it was super cheap. All of these places were incredibly well-priced.
So like you say that we were about, how many people? About 20 people?
Right? We were 20 people?
Yeah. We're coming from...
With the crew, 15, 16
people. With the crew, everything,
people,
everyone, even the driver sitting next. So about 20 people, I think the water bin we paying is...
Yeah, that was cheap.
It's too cheap.
Mm. How much was it? Like an average meal we spent for 20 people?
3,500 baht.
That's 10,000 rupees.
No, that's around 7 an hour.
8,000. For 20 people and then...
I don't want to talk about how much I spent in Bangkok by myself then.
No, but again, it's not just the amount of money being cheap. It's the value, the quality that you get in that price is the game changer.
So Bangkok, that was, and now become commercial. But Bangkok, you don't want that to pull the crowd off from the tourism. Yes. So I can't complain that because of some like local for me, as for the local, I said that Bangkok very expensive for me.
At the end, I want to talk about this one place that Sifa took us to in Bangkok.
Riverside, that one?
Yeah, but don't say the name right now. We will reveal that at the end.
Okay.
That was a great vibe, a great local place for Bangkok. Okay, so from Khon Kaen, we went to?
Loi.
Loi.
So Loi is one of another city in East Han, in North East, right? But we call Chiang Khan. Chiang Khan is like a province. So we could stay there. If I know that I was dreaming to go there for a long time because I see people talking about this and about the food as well. So if I know that we should stay for 2 nights.
Yeah, I found it really hipster.
It was, so this place was, we were staying by the Mekong. We were literally on the riverbank and across our hotel room is Laos.
Yes. Yes.
And the food just changed.
That
dinner was so good.
Yeah, so that restaurant at so the owner was telling us that his grandmother from Laos and then his grandfather is the Chinese Thai. So that way if you see the menu, it be Chinese, it might be Laos. But again, when they come to Thailand, they make asper a bit change from the Laos food to Thai. Palette, like Thai flavor. Yeah.
That place was a lot more mellow in terms of spice.
Yeah.
Spice just went away.
And then you see papaya salad also different. They're not like a small slice, but they were big slices.
Yeah, they were bigger slices.
They say in Laos, they serve like this.
So it's shaved versus sliced papaya. Yeah. It was shaved.
Like big slice. Like a.
Tell us a little bit more about that dinner and how the food changed there.
So the food change is so this restaurant is already 60 years old restaurant. So they won't make in-house, like they just make at home and then, you know, the selling on that area itself before that, the walking street coming. And then people love it. When start the local tourists come and then they love it and then they become famous because of it different taste. If you see that the pork, what we eat, even vegetable, some of vegetable coming from Laos. Like they would explain to us one soup that, you know, the thickness of dill. And they say that one, the root vegetable is specially from Laos and season. And then one dipping that have prawn and then minced pork and then the shrimpish. I was asking them because it's served with the raw mango. I say because raw mango not available always, right? He said, if not no raw mango, we not serve something else. We make not available in the menu. I said, oh my God. And then the thing is, because of I'm from Thailand, we always flexible, right? That when people ask something extra, there was like, oh, we have made this. We ask something extra from them, right? They said, no, we can't give it to you because we make as per the portion. They have limited portion per day. Like, if finish, they finish. They doesn't care that you want more, you take more. Everything we pre-order, that's why we got all the food that, like all signature from them. And food different, like, spice level. It's not very spicy from Khon Kaen to them. I feel like Khon Kaen, I couldn't have it. But here, I would enjoy. Even the soup.
Yeah, that's
the soup also,
good.
Like, you know, and then the pork, like, coming, like, five spice. So it makes off Cantonese, I feel, right? Yes. And it's like that. Yeah, so.
That place just was, it was everything, right? Laos inspired so, Vietnam, China.
Chinese, yeah.
And then, so they call Huan Luong Phabang. Luong Phabang is from Laos, right? Huan is, it's like in north and in on Isan, they call it Huan like a house. So already meaning that the house of Lao, like that. So
let's take a short little break. And when we come back, I also want to talk about the cocktail and coffee culture, which even in really small towns in Thailand was exceptionally good. All right, we're back on Anish Thing, and I'm with Rohan, Sifa and Bhakti, and we're talking about some unexplored Thai food. One thing that was really, really refreshing and cool to see that even in the tiny, tiny cities we went to, there were cocktail bars and there were really good cafes. Like Konkan had two really cool cocktail bars. One was inspired by Kingsman. Slightly gimmicky in terms of ambience, but the drinks were great. And the other place was...
The Gentleman.
That was the...
The Gentle was the
first Gentle one. Was Kingsman inspired. What was the name of the second
Chromatic.
Bar? Chromatic. Chromatic was really cool.
Yes. Both the places, the drinks also were great. The bar service in terms of the bartenders also vibe, very speakeasy style, very very well presented drinks, in fact. Not just good drinks. It was very well presented. The glassware, the look, the whole vibe, the music, all of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine a speakeasy bar there when I entered. Because when I entered, the first thing I saw, like, a little shack with loud music. And I was like, okay, fine. This feels like Bangkok.
Yeah.
And then Bhakti was like, there's a really cool speakeasy bar. And then I was really amazed. It was really nice.
It was really
nice. So I was shocked that Konkan have all this speakeasy bar because of, I thought that only like Chiang Mai or, you know, Phuket or Bangkok. But the Konkan, meaning that people like... been there.
Yeah, I would go back there for sure.
No, it's there because and we were there on Valentine's Day and there were dates there and it was pretty much, it was a vibe.
Market is there, but like only for local, you see, right?
Yeah, this is all for locals, all right? Apart from those bars, there was a really nice jazz club, but they had a tap room with about 20 really good craft beers on tap, including one of my favorite beers from Belgium. And again, I would have never expected to find that beer in that place. I think that made my evening though. But just really good F&B all around, not just food, but beverages as well. You know, when it came to coffee, even in Lai, so it's basically this one tiny street, which is on the banks of Mekong where we were staying. We went out for breakfast and our breakfast was also really good. Yeah. Very...
We were waiting also, like...
Yeah.
You don't have to...
I actually want to talk about that breakfast as well. But there was a coffee cart with 16 coffees that I could count. You could have pour overs, hot and cold. There was a hand-pulled espresso, like a manual espresso machine on that cart. And I kid you not, it's one of the best cups of coffee I've had. And just stuff like that.
Yeah, very simple.
That very simple.
Yeah, actually, I would like to ask Anish this. Like, would you ever imagine a small cart, not a 12 lakh rupee machine at the back, and this guy is just churning out just great coffee?
Yeah, it was great
coffee. It was crazy. I was like, wow. He had literally a bhaji wala cart.
He once spoke to me, like, he said, really, my coffee very nice. I said, yeah. So there was like... fan of the coffee and like he was so happy.
So I'll actually tell you the detailing that went in over there. So I got this blend of Colombian, Myanmar and one more bean that they had. They made the pour over. Of course, they measured everything. Everything was fine. But then the guy aerated the coffee, got the temperature down to what a drinking temperature should be rather than just serving it hot that most other places would do. When he got done with getting the temperature right, he tasted the coffee himself with a spoon, made sure everything's fine, and then served it. That sort of detail you won't get at most cafes, specialty coffee cafes anywhere. So it was a lot of these smaller kind of things that they were doing. That was like, okay, these guys really do know their coffee, and this is not just your average coffee cart.
I think it's also the format of hospitality, which in Thailand, whether we talk about bars, we talk about food, or we are talking about even a coffee cart, that hospitality that they have towards what they are serving you is so passionately done that travels across. So whether he's curated great coffees, because there were lots of options. Like yeah. I chose something with a cake blend in. Yeah.
I think the strawberry cake.
The strawberry one was also great. So you're like, he's curated that. Plus his attention to detail, sure. But after that, the way he's serving it to you, because he's a single man operating that whole thing.
Yeah.
And we were six of us standing for coffee. It didn't matter because they are doing it so well.
There were two gentlemen behind that cart. And again, just detailing, right? Even like the hand grinder they were using was a Coppadante. It's a really high quality hand grinder. So everything was done at a budget and no expensive production. But each thing that they were using was top notch in that aspect. That breakfast was also really interesting and very different from rest of our breakfast.
So I heard that Bickford, even they don't have the name. I tried to research again that because of the... I want to know where next time I go, I can go. But anyway, just last...
If you show up in this place, there's only one street to go to. There's nothing much.
So I heard about it. So I go there and walk. And they're like, oh my God. We thought that we'd get an easy table, but no table. We want wedding. We said that we have eight people. And after that, everyone coming. And then the owner coming, you say you have eight people. I said, I'm going now. Then another friend will come. So the food, very simple. They don't have even menu for me. When we asking what the menu, he's just telling me 10 dish. And then I need one noodle and I want the congee. And then, the bread.
The bread with condensed milk.
Like your condensed milk. That's my favorite every morning.
How do people not put on weight in these places? We were having condensed milk on bread every morning.
Yeah, but you see that how many plates we eat? Like one plate is six each, right? We ate four people.
All the bread. Bread and butter in Thailand was being served with condensed milk and soaking butter.
Yeah, and then, but what we have is deep fried, like a Chinese, you know that one?
So it's like a chini toast.
Very healthy thing, yeah.
Very healthy.
Sorry.
Bhakti and I were talking about what if we just moved to this place because it's so chill and easy. Marijuana was legal. Hey, we can mention that, right? It's legal there.
Yeah, it's legal there.
That was the other aspect. Marijuana was legal and legal to the point that dispensaries had plants growing there.
So, yeah, they were all farming it.
They're farming themselves. Now, yeah. They're
so
farming
it's literally
now.
Farm to roach. I don't know what the right
it was crazy. Terminology is. Especially the first one we entered in, that guy had like a backyard with just tents and plants with weed. And then he has a TT table and then he has a bar. And he has bongs all over the place.
So I entered this place from purely from a learning and academic point of view. Not from a consumption standpoint. But we went to this place... two guys open the door. It's a locked place. You have to ask them to open. We go there. They have every possible varietal with tasting notes and what it does. And is it more focused? Is it more energetic? And then you enter inside. And I think they were having their own party that time. They were definitely playing music and doing karaoke or something in the middle of the day. And then there's a backyard with a TD table. And then with just plants growing and just farming happening. And that was another aspect on the strip that you saw everywhere.
So this is the thing I want to talking about this. So in Thailand now, we also make medicine from this.
Yeah.
Like the fresh one, because of one of my dad's best friend, he got the cancer. And he got better because of fresh one. I won't mention that. You should have every day one leaf. And then I was shocked. Like, he was worse than my dad, but he got better. So that good thing also that, good thing of this, like, you don't have to consume too much.
And in Lai, there was also Beer Lao,
which is
just a great commercial beer, but they also had the IPA. So it's like, you're in this really tiny place, literally like very few tourists and definitely no Indian tourists there. And you have really good IPAs on the street.
Yeah.
You have dispensaries with plants all over the street. And you have great food and you have mango sticky rice and like, what else do you need?
Yeah, nothing. So you get everything there.
We can move.
We can
even
move.
You just sit on the road and you have a beer. I mean, they don't need license.
Yeah, even the coconut ice cream that we had.
Yes.
That whole...
With the roti.
Yeah.
Crispy roti.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one. That was also really good.
And even bars are not necessarily like bars how we are imagining them, and especially in Chiang Khan, the smallest of spaces, just even a cart can sell alcohol.
Yeah.
And had beer, basic you know, wine going.
So, Tom, but if you say they have Taming also right now, like like in 7-Eleven or even the restaurant we go for barbecue, remember? So they have Taming. But the local one, of course.
Yeah.
Anyway, local is local. Like you can get.
Yeah, over there, there was no. Otherwise, it's 2 to 5.
So only, 2 to 5. And then again, in the night. But that only like, if you have to billing, like you go 7-Eleven, right?
Correct.
That. So correct. They cannot give it to you because they have to billing in the system.
7-Eleven itself is a vibe.
Yeah.
You can survive a whole day and just in
so,
there.
So Kalan come back, Kalan said that you should learn how to make min chicken basil from 7-Eleven. I said, what? I said, you have the min chicken basil when you were drunk over there.
He went every night to 7-Eleven.
And then we told my mama some.
Actually, we ate a really cool, a really nice pork burger from 7-Eleven, which was packed in a plastic, put in the micro. And it was really good.
It's very good. Yeah. Even their buns, they had dim sim, they had sushi, they had lots of things.
And it's all frozen.
This is not even talking about the snack part.
Yeah.
The snacks, the Asian snacks in 7-Eleven.
There are also a lot of cannabis-based drinks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. At 7-Eleven.
We opened our trip with that. That was the first thing we had from the airport.
Yeah, our first meal on this trip, as much as we're talking about really cool, very small local places, was at a 7-Eleven sort of a place, right?
No, we stopped by for, I think, Pitopam.
Yeah.
And but then, a similar place.
Similar place. So that supermarket.
They weren't expecting 20 people.
Oh, yes. Sure. So that's why we had to waiting for 45 minutes for our food.
Yes.
Like, yeah. So, and then too early morning, like 7 o'clock, they just opened the shop, I think.
Also, this is the one place that in Thailand, especially, that your breakfast or anywhere in the Southeast Asia, your breakfast could be noodles and rice and soup. And it doesn't matter. Somehow, we were not looking for breads and eggs and all. It was okay to consume whatever was being served at that point.
Yeah, I don't think any of us had bread. Like for the first four days, at least, there was no bread on the table.
No, full week we had bread, butter, condensed milk.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Bread.
There was no like regular bread toast situation at all. Yeah, it was good.
So after Lai, we went to Bangkok.
Yes.
And so I've been to Bangkok a few times now. The last time I was there was for Bangkok Bar Show. So I'm pretty well clued into the craft bar scene in Bangkok. But you took us to a really fabulous place. That was a vibe. Tell us about that.
So this place, I was going when I start to drinking and hang out with a friend. And then every time when I go back home, I always go there. Or my childhood friend or everyone will coming and sitting there, drink, eat and drunk and go home. Because we all stay that side. We stay in Riverside, right there. We call Old City. So if you see that the price, I was like, of course, we can go fancy plate, but I want to go back with all my memory. Like, we always sitting and drinking over there. The same thing when we have the steam coconut.
The young coconut. Yeah. We had that again.
That have over there. And then one of that, there was Sunny was love it, a century egg with mint pork basil. Yeah. And then again, that you have the soup with the prawn and then papaya salad. But papaya salad different what you have in Isan. So the food there also, quality also very nice. Not just the bar food. It's like you can get proper meal and then drink and then leave aside. Like 5-star view for us.
That view was, also that place was really well done up. It wasn't like this was a, what's the right word? It wasn't like it was.
You can see the temple. You can see the water room, you know, rather than you sitting in a 5-star hotel. See the same view. I mean, why you have to pay for like 100%? No,
You said 5-star earlier, but what I'm trying to say is that this place was really nicely done. It's not like
it's not as grunge.
Yeah, it wasn't grungy. It wasn't that. It was just, it was a beautiful place. And what was the name of the place?
It's the name Taling Ba. Taling Ba is like the place next to the liver. So like that. So we always go. They have live band as well. After you left, that live band coming and then they sing the English song. I like, oh wow, that you sing now. Yeah, but every time I go in there, but still when I go back again, when coming from Konkan, coming from Isan and I come back to Bangkok, I feel like, oh, this is my area. So I want to do more of the local it's really local because we don't have time in Bangkok much. I couldn't take you go for local bar because I'm always go there. I'm not go to the new city where you go like Thong Lo or something. Yeah. Because I want to keep quiet myself on this side because of, and the next day take you go for the macro, have yeah. the noodle soup and it was 40 baht.
Yeah, that was like a D-Mart. It was like a massive supermarket and it had local food. It had no Burger King or a KFC or anything in there. It was just local guys in a food court.
Even Taling Bar, I think what we assumed is that we are getting a couple of drinks, then we will be going for dinner.
Yeah.
But we didn't need to. The food was so there was really excellent. Good. And yeah. we ordered thinking we are just getting snacks. And we're like, no, this is so good.
Yeah.
Like, we should eat here. Like I eventually ordered even pad thai there, finally yeah. in Bangkok.
But, which is also amazing to see, right? Like in Bombay, when you go to a bar, you'll always be like, okay, fine. The cocktails will be really nice, but the food may not be so good. But wherever we went, especially the bar that Sifa took us to. Especially where Sifa took us to. The food was really, really good. It was not more about the bar or the alcohol because you were getting straight up drinks, right? You were drinking beer or you were drinking like a whiskey water. So I think that was really nice. And also the view was just amazing.
Yeah, views. And like what Bhakti said, right? We all thought we'll get a couple of drinks and bounce somewhere else. And everyone was like, no, let's just stay here. Why are we going anywhere else?
Yeah, because I want, oh, we're looking for the plate that we enough over there. Like, I don't want to keep moving because in Bangkok, too much traffic. And if we go by taxi or we don't have own car, it's very difficult to call the Grab and come and pick up us, right?
Yeah, but for me, for Bangkok, as much as I, of course, enjoy all the cocktail bars there, this was really, really nice. Very good vibe, very local.
Thank you.
Easy.
Thank you.
I think we'll do a round of recommendations from our trip about restaurants that are absolutely obscure and you might at some point want to visit in Thailand. I will start with Sap Nua. And we had ant eggs there. We had a lot of raw meat there. And then for dessert, there was this really nice sweetened sugary lotus root.
Lotus root, yes.
Yeah, that was really nice. Also, fun cafe opposite that with really good coffee.
Yeah, that dude, after that you go there and bread, right? Yeah. I don't know, you try the bread.
Yeah. In fact, you can talk about this, right? The ant eggs that we ate. Sorry. I was going to say something, I forgot. I was going to add to it. I forgot.
The ant eggs were creamy. Also, how big were the ants that the eggs were so big?
The ant is so big, that's why. The dead big ant, not Chotu, not
Chotu. No one can see this on audio.
The ant is dead big ant. The small ones.
Those are the big ants.
Maybe going by what Sifa was trying to show us, I think 2 inches or something must be the ants. Those eggs were big. like an almost an inch long eggs.
Yeah.
Oval.
Yeah.
But kind of nice. And Sifa was like, just have this. There's more protein. And I was like, I have a protein box in my bag.
No, you don't have to throw that in here.
But it was good. It was good. Yeah. Rohan, what about you?
Yeah, so for me, it was sunshine, especially that young coconut dish that we had. That was really nice. And also, the vibe of the place was really good. You know, I think we spent like 2 hours there, to 3 hours there.
Yeah and then Anish would love the papaya salad. The papaya salad. Like thali. Thali papaya salad.
Yeah, you can call it the thali papaya salad.
So, yeah.
For you?
Come to me. Me, I think I love almost everything. But my point that from Khon Kaen, I love Tam Ka Thoi. And from Bangkok, of course, Taling Ba. That's what I take all of you go. That I recommend it. Yeah.
Nothing.
For me, from the local food that we ate, this was probably the most local, but it was literally the dhaba style on the highway on our way to Chiang Khan. And I think the place is called P-H-O-R-N, like porn.
Porn?
Like porn?
Let me do porn. Porn.
Porn.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so that was really good because there the chicken was being, roasted on open fire. And it was excellent, as well as the beef lab. Again, papaya salad everywhere. That soup. It was excellent. The soup was great. The soup was excellent.
And then I heard everyone asking you that the bird.
Yes, actually, I had put up a picture of the chicken being, butterflied in a certain fashion because they use really young chicken or really small chickens to do that. And the picture ends up looking where people ask me, am I eating a bat? Or a frog.
It did look like
or
a bat.
Rat,
did look,
yeah. Or, you know, and I was like, no, guys, it was straight up chicken, but it was so good.
Yeah. What about you?
I started the recommendations, yeah. but I am going to do a few honorable mentions for Bangkok because I also went to Bangkok. I think last time was pre-COVID. So a few things that really were wonderful was a Soho House is opened up in Bangkok. Really nicely done. Bangkok Social Club at Four Seasons was spectacular. Really beautiful bar, beautiful property. They do a Negroni flight. That was really good. Then apart from the Negroni flight, even the pistachio margarita, then a bar called Mezcal, which of course is Mezcal focused. They had a drink with Mezcal, Fernet, Horchata. That was really, really good. And a place called Caro Coffee. They're a roaster and a breakfast and brunch place. Really good stuff all around. All right, guys, thank you so much for being on the show. Can I quickly get everyone's Instagram accounts? And of course, Sifa, you have a restaurant here, so people can always come and try Thai food and great drinks. And any recommendations you have of your menu, people can reach out to you directly. So Instagram handles.
So my personal is Rohan_power and 4monkeyevents.
And then my personal is Chef Sifa, and then for Sifa, he wrote.
My Instagram handle is little_chefb, and little food co is where we cook.
Where we cook. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anish. Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. If you did, please rate us on all platforms. It really helps us a lot. And we're also on YouTube, so all episodes in video as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like this episode, do write to me on social media. My handle is AnishB on Twitter and Instagram. Tune in next Tuesday for yet another fun episode of Anish Thing on the IVM Podcast app and all major podcast platforms.